Mini-episode 1011 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 1011. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here today with one of my fellow FDH Lounge original dignitaries, Chris Galloway, and we are convening for him to analyze our annual FDH top 32 players in the NFL list. We do this for all sports and for MLB, for NBA and NHL as well, the major sports in North America, and we go by number of teams in a league in the sport. So it's an average of one player per team. The NHL list expanded from the top 30 to the top 31 this past time around, for example. So we go through, and so that is the cutoff point. And if we were drafting teams, this is the FDH rankings that I have put together, non-fantasy. This is all the way around. If you're having an actual draft to put an actual roster together to play actual football games, 16 games starting, let's say, tomorrow. So that, in some cases, will lead to injury questions. Is so-and-so all the way back? Can we trust where so-and-so is physically on this? There's a name that's very low on our top 32 list who we're going to address on that. There's a player who has fallen off of the list that Chris and I talked about off-air that I know we're going to discuss in particular here. So that is the point to do this every year. For the basketball one, I think we've always had Ben Chu analyzing the annual rankings. For hockey, it's been Russ Cohen. For MLB, it's been Steve Callis. Football, we've kind of moved it around a little bit. Jason Jones, the scout Ken Becks from firstdownscouting.com. This is Chris's time here to provide the analysis. So, Chris, you've had an opportunity to look through these things here, and looking forward to getting your thoughts on the top 32 for 2018.
Rick, thanks for having me aboard for this very special episode, and thank you for all the heavy lifting you've done in putting this analysis together and putting this list together for your fantasy draft help aficionados. I have a number of questions, as you referenced in your intro, and some thoughts on a bunch of these players. I would start off by just pointing out to folks at home, obviously, if we were actually drafting today for as a GM of an NFL team, and you had the next 10 years, you were looking at the next 10 years to building a franchise, each wouldn't be your top 32 players. I would just point that out in terms of, you wouldn't choose a Tom Brady at the end of his career. However, if you were to build a team just for 2018, that is where this ranking is focused. And I would also point out that there's not a lot of daylight between number one and number 32 when you're talking about 32 best players in the NFL. And a lot of this analysis will be eye of the beholder, as they say.
Absolutely, it always is. And again, this can be found in our great annual guide, Fantasy Football Draftology 2018, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com and the FDHLounge.com. Just get it right there for all your fantasy and non-fantasy needs for this season. Page 11 specifically is where you can find our top 32 list. And again, we always note where guys came in on the list last year. So biggest jumps, biggest falls, whatever, from the list. We always begin such a segment by examining the guys who fell off the list. In the case of guys towards the bottom, again, it's always important not to overthink this because it is such a fine line. There's a lot of guys who are near the bottom of the list who aren't on it just because it's hard to stay on the list from year to year. You miss by a blink in terms of what your previous year's production was. And if you were low on the list, you probably won't be on it this year. A perfect example of that is Mike Evans. Nothing wrong with him. He was number 30 last year. He's off the list. It was a tougher year for the Tampa Bay offense than a lot of people like myself saw coming. Number 29, Joe Thomas, probably the favorite player of both Chris and I on this list. He has gone into well-deserved retirement, hence he forfeits his spot on the list. Jadeveon Clowney, 28. Again, nothing necessarily wrong with him, but just hard to stay on the list when you're that lower down when there are other great candidates emerging. Same thing with Trent Williams, number 25. Number 22 last year, Cam Chancellor. Again, availability, a question with him. Looks like he's not really going to be around. David Carr, 21, kind of a tough year. Marcus Peters, 18. Matt Ryan, 17. Vic Beasley, 15. Again, we had a lot of other players emerging on here. Patrick Peterson, 14. Cornerback is always a tough spot to repeat on in terms of positions on this list from year to year. Eric Berry, 13. Dominguez Sue, 10. And again, if he had had such a great year, he wouldn't have gotten cut in the first place. Still a formidable player, but I think not what he was at one point. Looking to see if he can get it back with the Rams, surrounded by great talent there. Richard Sherman, 9, kind of the same thing. If he was still worth what he was getting paid, cap problems or no, he'd still be in Seattle. Number 8, Odell Beckham Jr., the highest guy from the list a year ago, not on the list right now. Chris and I talked about this off air, and again, I know that he does not find my explanation completely persuasive, but that's okay. That's the nature of these things here. For me, it came down to any kind of injury with the leg, you're coming back from it the next year. He looks great thus far, keeping in mind this list was actually put together in the last couple of weeks, so before camp started, albeit I did figure in the OTAs and that kind of stuff, but it's hard to know what to make of that. So erring on the side of being conservative, Odell Beckham Jr., the highest guy to miss the list, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's important that we start off with the folks who just missed the list. I mean, starting with future Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. As you said, well-deserved retirement. I'll take umbrage with that, even though I do love Joe Thomas. Damn it, Joe, we needed one more year out of you.
Yep, I'll say that.
Joe Thomas on the line for the Browns, and who would have been the only Brown on this list of 32. I think the Browns could have potentially been legitimately looking at the possibility of a wild card playoff spot. As it turns out, Joe's departure is going to probably, as you and I have discussed off air, is probably looking at creating a scrambled egg mess in terms of the efficiency of that line and how the coaches are not going to probably handle it well. And so we're going to see a degradation there that is probably, unfortunately, unavoidable. So I would also, it tells me a lot when I look at this list of 32, as excited as Browns fans are about the season and how much better the roster is, there's not one player in the top 32. So when you look at that, you can say, hey, boy, there is, they're not going to compete for a playoff spot. Now, I would want to ask you a question as it relates to Browns.
Sure.
Before I get into the rest of these, which is, Josh Gordon is obviously healthy. He is obviously, we've seen the Instagram videos. The man is chiseled out of marble. If he comes back, is not suspended, and plays for the Browns, if you knew he was going to play, would he be in your top 32?
He probably would be. And that's the whole thing here, is that this is a list where we're putting together. If there are any questions about you, you're either not likely to make the top 32, or if you are a particularly great talent, you'll make the bottom of the list. Spoiler alert on what we're going to be talking about with that, with the bottom of the list. So, yeah, so that's...
Okay, so that comes into how I was going to question your number 32.
Okay.
So that makes sense then. So, and I would, too. I would say that would be my caveat. If Josh Gordon comes back and there's rumors it's going to be later this week, and we are talking right now, it is August 12th.
Yes.
If he does, in fact, come back later this week, as is rumored, and he is not suspended, which it doesn't sound like he's going to be, Gordon would be one of these top 32 players for sure. So that would give a Browns player in the top 32. Moving on. David Carr, I assume you mean Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, yes, typo.
Yeah. I would say,
yeah.
David's actually doing a pretty good job in the studio doing some NFL analysis.
You win the grand prize for uncovering the typo. Yes, you're right about
there
that.
There it is. That's it. That's right. And I don't want to. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy. I'm not trying to be that guy. You know, hey, you misspelled there with an apostrophe. Yeah, we get it. We know. I will tell you. I think you're wise to drop Derek Carr out of the top 32. He had a lousy year last year, and I don't think it's going to improve. I'm one of the people that believes and has believed since they hired him that this, you know, this Gruden reunion with Oakland or soon to be Las Vegas is going to be a dumpster fire. I think Gruden has been out of the game for too long, 10 years. When I look at his public statements about things like analytics and wanting to run the football and just, you know, be a running team, I think he's not only looking back 10 years, he's looking back 20. And that's not going to fly in a league where the rules are designed for a passing game now, where the rules on defense and things of that nature and helmet rules, and it's all designed to give a passing offense every advantage. I don't think, and I think we've seen from Gruden's stewardship so far of this team, whether it's the Khalil Mack situation, I think he's going to be a disaster. And I would point out that for all those who've been in love with Chucky, who's been sitting on the sidelines doing ESPN videos for a decade, you know, other than his Super Bowl run with Tampa Bay, where he was handed Tony Dungy's team of Pro Bowlers, and then was asked to defeat his former team where he knew all the players and their system, he's not been a good NFL coach. I mean, I'm sorry. The guy has been below average. And what all this, you know, love affair is that the public has, and I know for years Browns fans have, you know, we're hoping that, oh, let's get Gruden. Please no. Let's not. I think it's going to be a disaster. So I think Carr off that list 100%. I don't think you're going to see, especially with that receiving corps, you're not going to see an improved year out of him. You talk about guys off the list, Matt Ryan. You know, Matt's a great quarterback, you know, in this league. But he needs the right situations. He would not be the kind of guy that could carry a team like Tom Brady.
Right.
He's shown that. When he's got weapons and running games, you know, Julio Jones and now all these studs and all these key positions, he's very good and he can run the team and run the offense. He's as much as I like Matt Ryan, he's a more capable, you know, Trent Dilfer. With some just a little bit more skill set, but carry a team he can. And I think if you're going to be a quarterback in the top 32 on this list, you better be able to carry your team. And Matt Ryan has shown that he's not that guy. As good as he is, and this is not a knock on it, he is a good quarterback.
Right.
When you talk about staying healthy, Eric Berry, you know, there's a guy who could be in the top 32, but we don't know where he's going to be injury-wise. You know, when you've defeated cancer and you've had a couple years of injuries and then the severity of the injury last year, you know, at some point it has a wear on the body and you're just not able to make the plays physically that you used to. And I worry with Eric Berry that despite that big contract Kansas City gave him, you know, warning Browns fans as it relates to John Dorsey, you know, Eric Berry's a guy that we might see a big drop-off from.
Possibly.
In terms of his play. And I don't, he is a talent, don't get me wrong, but I just, it's the human nature of the fact that, A, you're getting older, B, you've overcome, he has been through the ringer physically, and at some point, that stuff catches up, and for an NFL player, it catches up quicker. Odell Beckham, he'd be in my top 32. I'm going to assume that he's going to be healthy. Early reports are that he's going to be that he's looking great in camp. He's looking great, you know, in the off season. We've seen some, you know, Instagram videos and stuff. He looks fine, and I think that, you know, you would probably slot him right back up, right around number 8 on this list as you had him last year. And that may be an amendment that you'll have to make as we get closer to the season. Maybe reconsider this list as we know who's healthy and who isn't, you know, in the week before game one.
Yeah, that is, it's possible that he gets back to that, and I think it's fairly likely that he does. But here's the thing, too. I'm going to circle back to what you'd said before, and that is about the tightness of the list from 1 to 32. This is the first time we've done it, and I think in any of the sports, in any of the big four sports, where I didn't have a first tier and a second tier. Sometimes I even have a third tier within the realm of where we're going here. So, not to be a weasel, but it's possible that he's still on the first tier while I don't have him in the top 32, because I think it's safe to assume the top 32 probably extends, or the top tier, I should say, extends beyond 32. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing that he's a top tier player because of the unprecedented nature of this list and the tightness of where everybody is bunched up this year. I just didn't have him in the top 32, but that was an interesting point there. And to go to what you said before, as far as number 32, we'll start there. We'll back up to maybe about 25 or so. We'll take these in chunks. Number 32, he was 32 a year ago, J.J. Watt. Same kind of thing. If you are a transcendent player, a sure thing, first ballot Hall of Famer, and there are some injury questions, you can find your way onto this list regardless. Anybody else with the injury history that he's had the last couple of years wouldn't be here, but J.J. Watt, I think, still has to be one of your top 32. Eric Weddle, 31. He was not on the list last year. I believe this is his first time on the list. An excellent year for him, an emergent year in the defensive secondary. Cameron Jordan, number 30. Again, he was not on the list a year ago, as was not Fletcher Cox at 29. You saw what he did in the front seven for the Eagles and how important he was to the championship. Number 28, Bobby Wagner, 26 a year ago. There are a number of players who tend to kind of hover around the same spot from year to year, even sometimes even in the different sports as well. Bobby Wagner, I think this is probably not even his second time of being in the 20s on this list. He's a consistent player at that level. Number 27, Kareem Hunt, obviously not on the list a year ago. Chris, I'll give you credit. You saw him coming. This will not be the last time I'm sure he's on the list. Number 26, Geno Atkins, another one of those guys, 27 a year ago. He's been on this list, I think, previously in and about the same range. Number 25, Marshawn Lattimore, a guy who you and I were both high on last year in the draft, like Kareem Hunt, his first year in the NFL last year. And I thought coming in and potentially having just about some of the best cornerback play in the entire league in year one. So this is not necessarily a tier going from 32 to 25, but we'll stop here and I will pause to hear what your thoughts are on these guys.
Well, I mean, when we get into J.J. Watt, let me ask you, because you sort of referenced as a potential Hall of Famer. Let's say J.J. Watt's the rest of his career is injury-riddled the way it's been the last couple of years, where he's missing half of the season or more repeatedly again and again, shoulder, leg, whatever injuries. If that's the case, is he a Hall of Famer?
I'll go by the Terrell Davis precedent, and I believe Gale Sayers is a Hall of Famer. So I'll go by that precedent and say yes. If you were that transcendent for that long, this is a guy who was top five on this list repeatedly during his prime. So for a guy like that, yeah, if he never plays another down, I still think he's in there. He's at about the lowest point you can be in terms of number of games played and still be a Hall of Famer, but I do think he makes that threshold personally.
Yeah, interestingly, you referenced Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis was an absolute amazing player. Because of his lack of any kind of longevity, I would have never voted him into the Hall of Fame. I think he is a guy that the injuries would have kept him out off of my ballot. So it's interesting that you would reference him. If I had been a Hall of Fame voter, I would not have put Terrell Davis in. And not for something, not for lack of skill, but because it just, sometimes that's how it works. The best ability is availability. And when your career basically ends well before it should, should you be in the Hall of Fame? So I don't expect J.J. Watt's career to go that way. I just wanted to have sort of that.
Yeah.
I had that question for you. Eric Weddle, I mean, I love this guy. I've loved this guy since he came out of college. I wanted the Browns to take him when he came. I mean, he is everything you want. In the safety, I love the guy, and I'm a fan. I am a fan, and I have been since he was in college. Cameron Jordan, I think that he deserves getting up into here. I'm curious to see if he can sustain it, and I think Fletcher Cox will sustain it. When we talk about, you know, the daylight on this list, I mean, for me, Geno Atkins and Bobby Wagner are probably a couple guys that I wouldn't have on this list, but they would probably be just outside of my 32. But again, that's splitting hairs. Kareem Hunt, having watched him at Toledo, he's one of these guys I knew was going to be a star. He got the chance. He got the chance because of injury. I was so mad last year in the third round of my draft. I thought I was going to take him in the third round, that nobody else in my league figured out to take this kid. And right before I was supposed to pick in the third round, one of the other guys snagged him one spot before me. So
yeah.
I was bitter all season on that, because I thought for sure nobody else would be smart enough to take him, and one of the guys in my league grabbed him one spot before me. So we'll see what happens this year in terms of his fantasy value. Marshawn Lattimore, stud, absolutely belongs in this list at 25. I think it's a very good spot for him.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be higher in the years to come, no question about it. The guys who dropped off of the list, like Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, I think we've seen a little bit of a passing of the torch here as he is stepping into that. Peterson may have a chance to come back. Sherman maybe as well, but Lattimore, yeah, from day one looked like he belonged at an elite level in the NFL. We'll back this up about another seven spots.
And I think, I didn't touch on it, but Richard Sherman, I agree. He should not be on the top 32. His sun is setting.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can only play one side of the field to begin with. To me, that's a knock. It should always have been a knock against him. I think he benefited a lot from that system up there and the guys around him, and I don't expect him to have a great year in San Francisco. I just don't.
I don't either, and again, I don't think he's going to make it again on this list either. Peterson, gun to my head, I think is marginally more likely to make it back onto this list in subsequent years, but again, Lattimore is the future. Neither of these guys necessarily looks to be. We'll back this up about seven spots or so. Take a look at this. Zach Martin is another one of these guys. He's at number 24. He was at 23 the year before, and I think he's been at about that spot in the past. He's another guy who just kind of holds steady on here. As important as offensive line play is, it's very difficult to be top 10 or even top 15 on this list at offensive line. It is not impossible, but it is difficult. Number 23, Ezekiel Elliott, 16 a year ago. For him, primarily the concerns are off-field, and I don't know that he's really done anything in the last year to sort of dispel the maturity questions. Those are the biggest things about him as he goes forward. The Dallas line not being as elite as they were during his rookie year is going to have something to do with his value and how he looked last year as well, in fairness. And that is something for which he shouldn't be penalized, but the eyeball is what the eyeball is. You know, it's hard to know how to extrapolate that part of it out. Number 22, a guy who I can say I told you so. I knew when this kid came out he was worthy of being the top pick. Jared Goff makes the list for the first time, not on the list a year ago. Oh, what a difference makes to go from Jeff Fisher to one of the great young coaches in the league. We saw it last year. We're going to keep seeing it from him. A guy who's been on the list a lot of times before, number 21, Julio Jones. He was 12 a year ago. 12, I think, is about as high as he's ever been. Unsurprisingly, that was the Falcons' big run that they went on to the Super Bowl. And again, he's been a fixture on this list for many years. He's never been the best wide receiver in the league, but he's always in the conversation. He's always on the top tier. Number 20, another guy where, again, I knew he was going to be a sterling pro. There wasn't as much controversy about him, perhaps, as there was Jared Goff at times. Leonard Fournette, he makes the list for the first time at number 20. Number 19, Drew Brees, off the list a year ago. That's a guy where you're always just waiting to see. You're always holding your breath. Is that guy going to turn old suddenly? But he had a great year last year and proved that he still belongs on the list. Number 18, Harrison Smith, not on the list the year before. A guy who was a big, big part of a defense that came within, I won't say an eyelash of making it to the Super Bowl, because that was quite an ass beating in the NFC Championship game, but an excellent, excellent defense. And Harrison Smith is one of those glue guys, force multipliers, as we talk about on this show sometimes, guys who make other players around them better. And then we'll throw number 17 in here as well. Jalen Ramsey, not on the list a year ago. Like Marshawn Lattimore, instant impact when he got a chance to play. So from 24 back to 17, take it away, Chris.
I completely agree with your Zach Martin ranking. He is a stud, you know, and I would say, you know, it's appropriate because, you know, how high can you have a guard? And I think if you're a guard and you're in the top 30, you know, that's the ultimate compliment.
Yep.
He is a textbook, you know, if you were in a science lab, if you were going to make a guard, he's it. I think it's interesting that you have him and number 23, Ezekiel Elliott, right next to each other. Zeke obviously dependent on Zach Martin.
Right.
For his rankings. You know, I think a lot of people might take umbrage with your ranking of 23 for Elliott, and I'm not going to, and here's why. I think that, yes, the line is going to be not quite as good. It's still going to be, it's still a very good line. But if everybody's healthy, you know, the line should be sufficient for Zeke. I think the problem for the Cowboys, what I fear is the receiving core will not be good enough deep to put fear in those safeties, and you're going to see a lot of teeing off on stopping Elliott from opposing defenses, and that could degrade his overall yardage this year, and along with a slightly, you know, the line not quite as good, half a step not as good, could see a little bit of a deterioration in some of his numbers, especially if it, and a lot of this is, you know, predicated on whether that Dallas receiving corps steps up. I'm a big fan of Gallup. I think he was a great pick out of Colorado State by my Cowboys. I don't know why a lot of other teams didn't have him rated higher. So far in camp and preseason, he has looked like a really good draft pick for the Cowboys. So that may prove not to be the case, and then Zeke ends up being valued more. Jared Goff, do you own a Jared Goff jersey? Because I've not known a guy who loves Jared Goff more than you. I mean, it is a man crush. I mean, I remember, you know, literally 2 years out from him coming out, and you were, you know, Goff for Goff, and we want Goff. And, you have had the man crush on him for as long as you can remember. And does not last year with the Rams finally expose what a god awful coach Jeff Fisher really was?
Yeah.
That, you know, he used to get a lot of credit for 8-8 because people thought, well, they're not very good. Boy, he really coached them up to 8-8. Maybe all these years as he was coaching them down to 8-8, or 7-9. When I've heard things about Jeff Fisher getting another job, and I think to myself, who would make that mistake? What franchise would say, yep, let's turn to this guy and bring him in? I think all that being said, I think your rating of Jared Goff is probably a little high.
Okay.
I don't think he's proven as much as, say, Matt Ryan. And I would say that I want to see it a little bit more before I frankly put him in his top 32. Those reports last year of McVay basically calling a lot of the offense and helping Goff from the sidelines during games, I'm intrigued by. That to me is a little bit of a flag, if accurate, that, you know, that physically he has the ability. I don't think anybody questions it, but maybe he was struggling in terms of his ability to fully digest the offense. That doesn't mean in year two he won't, but I don't know that he won yet at this time to be on this list of 32.
Okay.
I want to see it again. Julio Jones is probably a little low. He's a top three wide receiver in this league, top four wide receiver in this league. But as we say, daylight being daylight, it's hard to argue. He's number 21. The guy's a stud. The Falcons' offense operates as well as it does because of him. And, maybe he should be a few spots higher. But it's hard to really argue once you get into this point in the list anyway on where exactly. And then, Leonard Fournette, I mean, listen, my whole take on Leonard Fournette was if he can stay healthy, the guy's a beast, and he showed it last year. Just an absolute beast. that team, when you look at the offensive efficiency of Blake Bortles and that team, when Fournette was on the field versus when not, it just tells you everything how important he is
yep.
to that franchise. Drew Brees, I can't believe you haven't had Drew Brees on this list. The guy's been doing it forever. What have you been waiting for? He's a Hall of Famer. But what proof are you waiting for? Well, I don't know. This could be the year that he doesn't throw for 4,000 yards. Like, what?
Okay.
I mean, fair wow. enough. I mean, what's Drew Brees got to do to your fucking respect? I mean, my God. You had Jared Goff as a junior in college, sophomore in college, slated for the Hall of Fame. Drew Brees is still trying to earn your love. It's unbelievable.
I'm a harsh master.
Harrison Smith, man, yes, force multiplier. I mean, what you talk about a guy that just burst on the scenes and made you go, wow. I mean, what an addition by the Vikings. And a lot of people are probably sitting at home going, who? And if you're one of those people going, who? Then get out your Google machine and find out.
Yep.
Jalen Ramsey, you know, best cornerback in the league. I could argue that he probably should be a little higher. But 17 is nothing to sneeze at when you look at overall talent in the league. That, you know, he is to that defense what Leonard Fournette is to the Jacksonville offense.
Yeah, I think that's very clearly the case. It's wonderful for them to be able to have that kind of talent on both sides of the ball. For Jared Goff, I will say this, that I think it is inarguable, perhaps people would argue this, but the exquisite touch on long passes, accuracy on long passes, to me, is one of the most precious resources in the league that you can possibly have. Guys like Brandon Whedon that can throw it 80 yards or a dime a dozen. You give me a guy that can drop that ball on a dime way down the field. And I saw that in Jared Goff way back in his time at California, and that's what had me excited. So just to answer that, to me, accuracy on the deep ball. Yeah.
I'm with you. The guy physically, he can make all the throws. He's got a beautiful touch, and he's accurate. I think for me, I want to see it again. I want to see it from the football IQ side. Sell me.
Fair enough. And, you know, as far – and again – I will say this, too. I called it, I don't know, to that degree. I knew the Rams were going to be improved. I knew the Rams made a great hire in Sean McVay. I'm a big believer in bloodlines, so that was part of it as well. He had a great assistant coaching record coming into there. He also had a grandfather who had a lot to do with putting together the 49ers dynasty in the 80s, and it's a thing where I hate to even mention this, but I will. Old friend Joe Lindway, who I did some programming with at the late lamented Sports Talk Network, and he was a salesman there as well. Okay, so Jeff Fisher is a friend of his, so I feel bad saying this about somebody who is technically a friend of a friend, but I agree with you on Fisher. He one time said on Facebook, I think he had put up a picture of him with Fisher, and I did what I probably shouldn't have done realistically and kind of took a shot at him there. And then he came in and he's a top three coach in the league. I said, Joe, he's not a top three coach in the NFC West. And history has borne that out, Chris.
Well, yeah, I mean, the truth is sad. And that's not, none of that's a commentary on Jeff Fisher, the man.
No.
But I mean, it's just, you know, there's also some truth to the fact that the game is changing. Back to my Gruden comments.
Right.
And I think Jeff Fisher, you know, I think, you know, his style and the way he likes to play and all the rest of that, you know, it's very much rooted in the 70s and 80s. And that's just, you know, that's not today's game. And I think that there are times when the game just passes a coach by.
Yep.
And they go from being a good coach to not being a good coach. And it's not that they're a bad person or they've done, you know, they've somehow forgotten football. The game has changed, and they haven't kept up with where they need to be in terms of how it's changed. And I, you know, much credit. I mean, that's the strength of Bill Belichick.
Right.
The game is changing, and he's always out looking at, you know, the paths. You know, when Chip Kelly was at Oregon, who goes out to Oregon? You know, first guy in the NFL and starts incorporating some of their concepts into their offense, Bill Belichick.
Right.
All right? And you know, it's that willingness to get out and we all know Bill's a master of the rules and the changes and how that can affect what you do on the field. He incorporates all the elements of the game into how he coaches. And that's why he's a good, dare say it, a great coach. Also, Tom Brady. That's not, you're not taking a shot at Jeff Fisher, the man, and I understand that. I had another thought on something, and now I've lost my train of thought.
I'll give you this as far as it goes with Jeff. I'll bail you out on that. As far as it goes with Jeff Fisher, I'm surprised the guy never got, in terms of what you said about the way that the league is evolving and keeping up with it, how has that guy never gotten a nationwide commercial endorsement? Isn't he the epitome of life coming at you fast?
It might actually be slow. It's not like it changed overnight. It's not like the asteroid strike and the dinosaurs went out. I mean, it was a slow evolution, and Jeff still didn't keep up.
That's true.
Can I just say, God, will you give Drew Brees some love, for God's sakes?
Okay. All right, yeah.
Give Drew some love.
Fair enough. And safe to say, another great year, and he'll be higher on the list next year. I can promise you that.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.